This is an I Am Listening podcast.
South East Water need to be held to account properly by government, because frankly, the system we've got is just untenable, and frankly, people are furious.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, and here's just some of the political news that's been hitting our headlines. In Medway this week, there was yet another fire in the former St John Fisher School building in Ordnance Street in Chatham. Councillors from that ward, Fort Pitt, are now calling for immediate action from the developers to secure the derelict site, or better yet, to get on with demolishing it. Since the school moved out in 2022, there have been 9 fires and countless break-ins. Most recently, on May the 30th, a huge mushroom cloud of smoke covered the nearby area and could be seen from across the towns. Councillor Harinda Mahil has had enough and is calling for a meeting with developer Utopia Homes to discuss how to get work started on clearing the place and stop the problem. Planning permission to demolish the building and to build 139 homes there was approved in May 2025, but so far it remains standing. Councillor Mahil says if there aren't results soon, he will pursue action from the council to get the issue resolved for residents. He says there are clearly going to be health impacts for those who live close by as a result of smoke and fume inhalation from the fires. And that's alongside the general inconvenience of having roads blocked off repeatedly by the emergency response and having to keep windows closed. He says he does want to try to work with the developers first and give them as much of a chance as possible to get work underway, but he says enough is enough. Local authorities do have some powers in situations like this, the most drastic of which is a compulsory purchase order where the council can forcibly buy the property. But Councillor Mahil hopes things can be sorted before it gets to that stage. Sevenoaks was the scene of some people power this week when members of the planning committee decided to reject plans for a massive solar farm in the village of New Ash Green. The proposal is for 72,000 panels across 235 acres of greenbelt land in what is quintessential English countryside, and the locals do not like the idea one little bit. They mobilised and fought a pretty focused campaign against the proposal. A majority of the councillors appear to agree that the damage and harm to the community there would not be outweighed by the public benefit. Among the many, many objections raised, people said they were concerned about the loss of agricultural land, local amenities and trees, the possible air contamination and water and noise pollution, as well as the impact on physical and mental well-being, as well as the effect on local businesses. On Tuesday evening, district councillors rejected the application for a second time, and there were cheers and applause from the public gallery when the motion to refuse was carried by 13 votes to 3 abstentions, so it was pretty much unanimous. The grounds for rejecting the appeal officially are the damage to the landscape and harm to heritage assets, which is planning speak for listed buildings whose character might be compromised by the changes to the community. But the defiance may well come at a price. The company behind the scheme, Evolution Power, will almost certainly take the matter to a planning inquiry headed by a government-appointed inspector. The company will argue that there are no objections from at least 2 statutory bodies, namely Kent Fire and Rescue Service and the Environment Agency. It has said that the cost of an appeal could be £400,000 if the council cops all the legal costs. Conservative councillor Michael Horwood said after the meeting, "You can't put a price on democracy and local people's views. The councillors on this committee tonight were very clear that cost considerations are not a planning matter." Well, that may be so, but the appeal will need to be paid for somehow. One officer told councillors they had to be mindful of decisions being deemed as unreasonable behaviour, which could give an inspector a reason to uphold a challenge. That will be the basis of Evolution's appeal. In a statement earlier this week, Evolution director Conor McNally said, "The Development Management Committee members cannot lawfully refuse a proposal just because they dislike it. Valid reasons for refusal need to be identified." He pointed out that the committee is legally required to follow due process, and the firm felt that no justified reason to refuse had been identified, and therefore the application must be approved in line with the officer recommendation. So it's a case of watch this space, but one could guess that this will rumble on long after the expected abolition of Sevenoaks District Council under the government's local government reforms, the details of which we expect to learn next month.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast?
Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
It's beginning to feel a bit like Groundhog Day with our water system, and while services have been restored, this week saw thousands of people and homes around Kent go without, especially in the coastal areas around Whitstable and Herne Bay. Incidents like these have been becoming increasingly common in the past year, with South East Water in particular under fire for their failure to ensure reliable supplies. As the biggest issue in the county this week, it's no surprise that politicians have been making their views known. Canterbury City Council leader Alan Baldock has written a public letter to the Environment Secretary Emma Reynolds, criticising South East Water for what he described as their repeated and widespread systematic failures, and calling for the government to use its powers to place them into special administration. Maidstone Council leader Councillor Stuart Jeffrey went further and told us this week that the companies should be nationalised.
South East Water need to be held to account properly by government, because frankly, the system we've got is just untenable, and frankly, people are furious.
They said they're investing an awful lot of money to cope with the effects of climate change, but we have known about climate change for quite a long time. Do you think they just haven't been putting that money into where it's needed early enough?
I think the water companies have prioritised their shareholders, their investors, over the needs of people for far too many decades. It should never have been nationalised. We're one of the few Western countries with a nationalised water, with a privatised water system, and we seem to be running into problems. And I think it is purely down to the greed of those big corporate investment houses. And a failure by the companies to do that investment. I'm hearing about, you know, a pump in going wrong, and you think, well, this is the 21st century. You should have technology to be able to replace, to detect it going wrong, to replace it quickly, so that there isn't this gap in supply. The whole system is broken, and frankly, the sooner proper investment arrives, the better. But it should have been there decades ago.
Yeah, you mentioned about privatisation. I guess can't really backtrack now, can we? Can we nationalise water again?
Of course we can. Why not? I mean, it takes some political will by the government, and I don't see any of that. But they are gradually, for example, renationalising the railways. That is a really good move. They can do the same with the water industry. And frankly, I think the public would welcome that.
Would the Greens call for that? Like, say, if we were going into an election year, for example, would that be on a Green manifesto to renationalise water supply?
Absolutely. And it has been. And we've been putting those calls out repeatedly for many years. That would be one of our main policy pledges.
An urgent question session with the Environment Secretary Emma Reynolds was held on Wednesday, where Kent MPs had their say. Sir Roger Gale, representing Herne Bay, which was badly affected, told the House that residents being left without water on the hottest days of the year so far was totally inexcusable and unacceptable. Sitting Bourne and Sheppey's Kevin McKenna said South East Water are dreadful and slated the postcode lottery as to whether or not you're going to get water based on the management of these firms. While Ashford Sojan Joseph said that he had lost all faith in the company. He spoke to us earlier this week.
Yes, we are getting that reassurance. I accept their apologies, but this is a lack of long-term investment for many, many years. So this need to happen as soon as possible, and this kind of chaos should not happen again. As we know, I had to raise an issue back in February to end hosepipe ban. So the hosepipe ban was in place during the winter months all the way to February, and here we are in May when the demand goes up, we don't have enough water, and there was no contingency plan in place, even though we knew that this hot weather was coming. So there should have been more planning in place.
And as you say, it was only a couple of days. We've still got the entire summer ahead. What do you want to hear from bosses in the next few weeks to reassure you that we're not going to have a major problem throughout the summer?
So I would like to hear from them that what are the short-term investment and long-term investment that's going to help the whole Southeast region. It's not just my constituency's issue. We know that this issue is affecting wider Kent area. So I would love to hear from them that what is the short-term investment and what's the long-term investment. And they probably need to be open and transparent. People were telling me was they were not able to get hold of them. They need to improve their communication. So if we are a bit more open and transparent, then maybe that will reassure the people a bit more.
Tom Tugendhat, who represents Tunbridge, said the company was the worst run he had ever come across. And Maidstone's Helen Grant raised concerns that South East Water would, by their own admission, not be able to supply all the homes planned in Kent in the coming years. East Thanet's Polly Billington even suggested that fines to water companies be taken in the form of stock handed over to a local board to gradually bring them back under public control. Needless to say, it's been a tough week for outgoing South East Water CEO David Hinton, whose job has already been claimed by the controversy around the company's failings. In a statement, he apologised to all affected customers and stressed that more than £2 billion of investment was going into infrastructure in the coming years. Kent County councillors voted to recite the Lord's Prayer and sing the national anthem at full members' meetings. The Reform UK-led administration sparked anger when the changes were first suggested, but the idea has now been voted through. Here's council leader, Councillor Lyndon Kincarron.
Well, it's something that always used to be done in Kent County Council. I think it was scrapped around about the late 80s. So it's not like I'm bringing in a brand new plan of action. This is something that is very common. It is a very common thing across many, many councils. I think about 50%, probably more than 50% of councils regularly have the Lord's Prayer said at the beginning of meetings. But the reason I wanted to bring it into KCC is that, you know, politics can be very fractious. It can be quite unpleasant at times. Not from my side of the chamber, I must admit. But, you know, we have a lot of unpleasantness within that council chamber once the business of being politicians kicks in those full council meetings. I'm sure you've seen it. And I thought, what better way than to start the council meeting with a moment of quiet, a moment of unity, a pause, and just a moment to just all of us to reflect that there are bigger powers out there than us individuals in that council chamber, and to remind us that we are there to do a very important job. You know, we are debating and voting on issues that directly affect 1.6 million people across the county of Kent. I just thought, what better way than to have somebody come in at the beginning of each full council meeting and just recite the Lord's Prayer. It takes about 45 seconds. I'm not asking anyone to voice anything in their own voices. The cameras won't be on the members. The camera will simply be on the person who's reciting the Lord's Prayer. I'm just asking people for a bit of tolerance, really. You know, we are a Christian country. It's in our heritage. It goes back thousands of years. And I think it's just an important moment. That's all I'm asking for. Just a moment to pause before we get going on the business of being elected politicians.
Do you think it will have an impact? Do you think that moment of quiet will change how things happen in the chamber? Or is it just that 45 seconds, just as you say, just to reflect in whether you're listening to the Lord's Prayer or not, you're just having your own moments of reflection. Will it make a difference?
Who knows? Let's give it a go and see. I mean, you know, it's something I feel fairly strongly and positively about. I'm not doing it to annoy anybody. I'm not suggesting it because I want to upset any of the opposition, although some of them do seem determined to be upset about whatever I say. That's just, you know, that is their right, of course. But I just think it should be a really nice moment for everybody to just gather. You know, it starts the meeting in a very sort of formal way. And of course, we want to end it by having the national anthem played as well, because, again, you know, we have a monarchy. That's our constitution. It underpins everything that we do. In Parliament, for example, they start the sessions off with prayers. You know, it's a very, very common practice. So I don't think I'm asking for anything outlandish. And again, I think it's just asking people to just pause. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that in today's world. We're so divided, really, as a nation, aren't we? We don't seem to be able to find at the moment that groove to get everybody sort of pulling together for the good of the country. Maybe we can set a little example in Kent County Council of how things could be done.
And finally this week, a petition signed by thousands of people has been handed in to the Prime Minister in a bid to stop 20,000 homes being built in Kent. The Stop the Sprawl campaign is being spearheaded by Helen Whateley, the Conservative MP for Faversham and Mid Kent, who says the planned new estates should be concentrated in areas that are already densely populated. In her constituency alone, there are five large-scale developments in the pipeline. That's 5,000 homes at Lenham Heath, 2,000 at Lidsing Garden Village, 1,815 at Winterbourne Fields between Faversham and Canterbury, 2,500 at the Duchy development in Faversham, and 8,400 at Heisted Park just outside Sittingbourne. She says that's about the size of two Favershams. As we heard earlier, our water system is already at breaking point, and Miss Whateley is concerned about the impact any more building will have on all our infrastructure if this pace continues. She's been raising the issue for some time, but this week visited Number 10 to hand in the petition to Sir Keir Starmer's office after it was signed by 7,000 people since it was launched at the beginning of March. According to the Tory party's calculations, London is taking fewer than half of the planned houses for London and the South East, while Kent and Medway are taking 42%. She believes more development should be taking place in the capital, where there's already the supporting services in place, and not as much in our county and especially our countryside. A Ministry of Housing spokesperson has said all areas, including Kent, must play their part to end the housing crisis, and that any new homes will come with the infrastructure that communities want and rely on. To many of us, that's not how it feels at the moment. Over to you, Mr. Starmer. That's it for this week. Until next week, you can keep up to date with the latest politics news on our dedicated webpage at Kent Online. And you can also sign up for our newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters for more news and views. And if you still want more, don't forget to tune in to KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.